Now, shares on the Hong Kong stock market closed higher today following assurances from the heavily indebted Chinese property group Evergrande. Global investors have been on tenterhooks in recent weeks as Evergrande's bond payments deadlines approach, with fears that the company could collapse under a mountain of debt, estimated to be around $300 billion. Evergrande is said to have resolved one payment, which was due today, but it didn't give any further details. At lunchtime, it's been reported that the Chinese authorities are asking local governments in China to prepare for the potential downfall of the Evergrande Group. We can talk now to RTE's Yvonne Murray, who's in Taipei. Yvonne, perhaps first of all, you might just tell us, what is Evergrande and why is its potential collapse causing such shockwaves?
Evergrande is an enormous property company. It was founded way back in the 90s, just as the Chinese economy was beginning to heat up. And it grew to such a colossal size, it made its founder, Xu Jiayin, one of the world's richest men. He's apparently worth $10.6 billion. And it's not just property that Evergrande's involved in. It's in food and drinks, it's in electric cars, and it also owns China's biggest football club, Guangzhou FC. So many fingers in many pies. But the biggest issue here, and why this all matters, is because Chinese investors have bought into this company on a massive scale, particularly bought apartments. Apparently, there are 1.6 million people waiting for their apartments that haven't yet been delivered. An additional 80,000 people who've bought into Evergrande's retail finance products. And already we've seen protests outside Evergrande's headquarters in Shenzhen with, you know, very worried investors demanding their money back. And that is a risk of instability that the Chinese government is very afraid of.
But to what extent is this a crisis that's been brought about as a result of actions taken by the Chinese government? They've introduced new regulations, haven't they, for the operation of these giant property companies. And that's at least in part what's causing quite a bit of this.
Yeah, that is definitely one aspect of it. And in fact, many people are now beginning to ask, how was a company like this allowed to get so big in the first place and to accumulate $300 billion worth of debt? As you say, government policy has suddenly, in the past few years, begun to shift. You know, that borrowing that we've seen with companies like Evergrande, that was really fueling the growth of the Chinese economy from the 90s right up until today. It made a few people in China extremely wealthy. But the gap between rich and poor became really too big for the Communist Party to manage. And so in the past few years, the rhetoric has shifted from getting rich is glorious, which Deng Xiaoping once said, to Xi Jinping's new message, which is one of common prosperity. And what they now want to see is some of that wealth being distributed across the population. They're particularly concerned about the slowing economy, the fact that, there's a reduction in demand, consumer spending going down. And as I mentioned, those urban middle classes are a particular concern because they are beginning to see a potential dip in the standard in their standard of living. And again, a cause for concern for the Chinese government.
It's being described as possibly China's Lehman's, with the collapse that led to the economic crash of a decade ago. But perhaps it's rather different in very many key ways. But what could its collapse mean for the Chinese and the global economy?
Well, in China, the people have described it, and not all analysts agree with this, but some people describe it as a kind of Ponzi scheme that the Chinese government is kind of lending to itself in order to fuel the growth of its economy. So the Chinese banks are hugely exposed. Having said that, it still has vast amounts of foreign currency reserves. Yesterday, the Chinese government was able to deliver $18.6 billion into the banking system to see off any panic. So it does still have those reserves. The problem is, though, is confidence. And if a company like Evergrande defaults, will that have a contagion across the Chinese property market? Let's remember that the Chinese property market accounts for 29% of China's GDP. And to put that in context, that is where Ireland was with its property market in 2007, 2008, just before the bubble burst. So huge exposure to property, one default with a company like this could risk contagion across the country. Foreign markets are also heavily invested in China, and there is a risk that it could spread beyond China's borders as well.
Yvonne Murray in Taipei, thank you very much for that. A story, no doubt, that has a good number of twists and turns yet to come. After this short break, we'll be remembering the Labour Party Minister, Mervyn Taylor, who piloted the government's divorce referendum back in the 1990s, who has passed away.